Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 549, What's Worth a Wreck, recorded live on August 11th, 2016. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And welcome back to another week of not-so-Halo newsy. We are in a lull right now as we're going between, I guess, Comic-Con and Gamescom, which is next week. And I don't know if we're going to get much new information there, but we do have a little bit of news regarding Halo Wars 2. That Dan Ayu posted a little bit earlier this week. And then we also have a exclusive look at the Mythic Crate. So for those of you interested in the Halo Loot Crate and have subscribed, you have a chance to possibly get this Mega Crate. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And we were originally planned to have Toa Freak on to discuss the end of the Halo 5 campaign, but unfortunately he had to reschedule for next week, so we will have him on then to do our post-campaign recap and talk about what implications we can draw from that for Halo 6 and Halo Wars 2 and all that fun stuff. But for now, we go through the little bit of Halo news that there is, and then I think we're going to talk about Rex tonight and the whole Rex system, which should be interesting. The forever debated topic of Halo 5 is the Rex system. Undoubtedly.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's go with the official news as far as the Halo Wars 2 stuff is concerned. So Dan Ayu posted up earlier today a little bit of a recap and development update for Halo Wars 2 based on the beta that was out during E3. There's a lot of good feedback, and it looks like they're making a lot of changes so far from just the initial round of test data that they got and the feedback that they had from the survey feedback that they got. So let's talk about some of the stuff that they said they're going to address. A lot of people have had some issues with the control schemes in the beta, so they're going to make some adjustments to that to make it a little bit easier for people to engage with enemies and make it a little bit easier to move around the map as well. They're also looking at some different controller configurations that they can use to possibly work in some more playstyles. So if I remember right, there wasn't any option to change the control layout for the beta. So the fact that they're looking at different control schemes is good. And hopefully we'll see that in the next beta.
I'm not even sure if there was other control schemes in the first Halo Wars. I never looked. I just used whatever default was.
Yeah, honestly didn't play it enough to remember whether or not there was, but it could have been that there weren't any additional control schemes that you could choose.
I don't remember seeing anything in there, honestly, but I mean, it's nice that they're going to try to give players, you know, multiple options on the control schemes. You know, some people just like things in different places.
Well, with the Elite controller, you can just customize that anyways.
True. But, you know, not everybody wants to dump $150 in a controller.
That's true. That's very true. So controls was a pretty big thing that was addressed. The next thing that they have listed out here is leader abilities. So apparently the majority of people found it unclear on how the leader power trees worked. So they're working on a way to change that system up to make it a little bit more straightforward for people to understand and more easily use the leader powers. So I don't think it's going to be anything where they're going to remove the tree or remove the powers altogether, but as far as being able to use them effectively, it sounds like they're retooling that part of the system.
I definitely agree with that one.
So it took me a little while because I kept on forgetting which button the leader power trees was, but once I remember which button it was, it wasn't too hard to figure out how the leader tree worked. But I think it was definitely that first access was kind of a barrier to entry in a way.
It honestly took me a couple of days to understand the leader power tree. And I don't think I ever really got a good grasp on, you know, the benefit versus cost was to the powers. So it seemed very clumsy to me. It just seemed like too many steps just to call on a heel. I'm really interested to see how they do what they do to make that more user friendly as far as on a controller. That one, it seemed to be, it would be a lot more friendly to a keyboard and mouse than it is a controller, which, you know, I understand they're trying to blend the two environments to resemble each other as close as possible so that you can move back and forth, without, you know, too much shock in the different placement of controls as far as where you go to pull up what. So I'll be interested to see, you know, what their more straightforward design is.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that more straightforward would be, unless I don't know how that would work. Because for Halo Wars, the original one, that was part of your dial menu that you used, right?
Right. It was one of your dial menus, but it was easily accessed. You know, you could hit one button, push over on the stick, and hit another button and have your leader power going. You know, in this one, you have to call up your menu, purchase the leader power, then activate the leader power. And I think the cost part of the leader power is what's the biggest hang up as far as picking what you wanted. Where in the original Halo Wars, it was right there. You know, you had your main weapon, you had your heal, you had, you know, call on dropship or ODST, or depending on what leader you were using, and you upgraded that tree through one of your buildings. Well, they've taken it out of the building and put it, the upgrade tree, in the menu. And I think that's part of the hang up.
I would agree. I think it's going to be something where if they can manage to somehow reestablish it into the radial menu, it might be best. I almost think if you can do something where, because you hit the D-pad to access it, but have an option where it's like you hit A to actually use it, or you hit Y to upgrade it, something like that might be an easier implementation.
Yeah, like I said, I'll be interested to see what the changes are that they make to that for you know, the actual launch, because that was one of the real hangups that I had with the beta, was the leader power seemed to be a lot more clumsy to use, at least with the controller. Now with a keyboard and mouse, it probably would work really well, you know, the way they have it, because you can do a lot more operations with a keyboard and mouse than you can with a controller in that kind of situation. So there, you know, there may be some larger differences between the PC version and the console version when it comes to that particular part.
Well, talking with 343, it sounds like they're trying to keep those experiences as close as possible. So we'll see.
We'll find out soon enough. Well, not soon enough, because I want to play it now.
Right. So that's leader powers. Another thing that they were discussing was bases, and I actually had kind of a similar feedback with what they said was kind of an overall response, was that it was hard to have a clear understanding of how the buildings were actually being built out, how much damage they had, and really get a good sense of what the status was on the buildings. So apparently they're going to change that as far as the appearance of the structures to kind of reflect what's actually going on with them for both offensive and defensive purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely difficult to tell at what tech level your buildings were at, just as, you know, at looking at your, you know, just looking at your base, because the differences were pretty minor. On the supply pad really didn't change in shape any that much. All you noticed is if you watched it, you got an extra little drop chip coming down, where in the original, you know, the supply pad physically got wider. And it was easily to tell, okay, I've upgraded that pad.
And for the power things, too, it went from one little power generator to two. At least that was on, that happened for the beta too, but yeah, it was kind of hard to tell. And even for the other base types, like the barracks and the airfield, you couldn't really tell which one was upgraded or which one wasn't.
Right. In the original, your depot, your vehicle depot, your airpad, and your barracks, there was no outward sign of their level. The building didn't change at all, which, on those three...
It wasn't the building that changed, right? It was the actual base itself.
Well, no. Because
it was a global thing in the original, right?
Well, yeah, that's how you got more spots to build stuff.
Yeah, but the buildings didn't change in Halo Wars 1. It was just, if you upgraded that tech from one of your bases, then at any one of the stations, you could call in any of that tech, but they changed that up in Halo Wars 2.
Well, the only buildings that changed in the original Halo Wars were the supply pads and the reactors, as far as stuff that you built on your base. Now, yes, your base changed when you went from the fire base to all the way up to the fortress. You got additional spots to build things. Where in Halo Wars 2, you still have that, but the individual buildings now, you have to upgrade the individual buildings to bring in a higher tech level unit. And there's subtle changes in the buildings as you upgrade the tech, but it's not very recognizable.
And that's something that they're going to address, and they said they've already started to address as far as you guys are concerned. It would be nice if they had at least for the health, I have a feeling they'll bring the health bar back, which will be good.
I really don't have a problem with the health bars. They're a very good tool to keep on there so you have a good idea of how damaged your base is. Sometimes the unit health bars kind of get in the way of you seeing what's going on, especially when you have a large contingent of units together, the big battle in the middle of the map. It can get kind of confusing. But it looks like they're going to bring in a better visual aid, at least when it comes to the bases, on how hurt they are, or what their health is, what their build status is. So that's good. That'll make the game a lot easier to play.
Yeah. So that's the bases. The next thing that they addressed was resources and power. And apparently this was a highly discussed topic. And they got some major feedback saying that there was a lot of players that felt they had to have so many supply depots and reactors just to have enough resources, and that things were costing too much. So they're retooling that to where in the early stages for the lower powered units, you're going to mostly focus on getting supplies. And then as you work up tech trees, power will be more of a requirement. So you'll have to have to build up those reactors.
Yeah, I'd wind up, my sub bases would be either reactors or supply depots, just so I could get enough to upgrade the main base, upgrade the tech in the main base so I could build units.
Whenever in the beta I was going from getting the little side bases, I'd always pull out a reactor and supply pad, or sometimes double supply pad or double reactor based on where I am in the game.
But the one thing I did like is that it did force you to use the map resources and protect the map resources, because you had power generators on the map, and it kind of forced you to go protect, capture and protect those, as well as plan your attack on your opponent. So that was that I liked.
Mm-hmm. It definitely seemed like those generators gave you an edge.
Yes. Well, they did, because that's a place that you can put an extra supply pad instead of a generator. And, as you get into the higher units, they require more power than they do resources. Especially when you go to upgrade your bases and your buildings, a lot of them required almost all power to upgrade.
But even with having a bunch of reactors in there and building them, it still seemed like the reactors were a lot harder to actually get resources out of than the supply depots. At least that's what it seemed like to me.
I was never really low on resources, but I was always seemed like I was out of power. You know, I was always waiting on the power to build. One thing I'd like them to change is the way units collect resources. It seems like you could only get one or two units collecting a group of resources at a time, where in the previous game, you know, if you had 10 Marines there, they would all go in and collect resources, and you could pick
collect them,
faster.
Like crazy. Oh, yeah. You just send the whole squad, and in like 3 seconds, all the resources would be claimed, and it's like, okay, cool. On to the next one. I don't know if that's based on how close units are, and because they have the unit groups, it's something that they like. Maybe they're not close enough to, so they can't pick them up anymore, or what?
Yeah, I really don't. I didn't really experiment with that a lot. It's something I noted. I noticed, and I just moved on. I just started spreading my units out and had them picking up multiple resource piles at a time. It's just one of those things I just adapted to, and really didn't give it much other thought while I was playing.
That's another thing too that was a little tricky to manage, was doing unit management.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never figure out how to do the management on the per unit type, because if you can do like select all units, and then you're supposed to be able to scroll through them and pick like the individual unit types. I could never figure out how to do that.
Well, I just figured out how to do that in Halo Wars.
The original.
I watched a lot of video where, I'd see these people doing this. I'm like, how are they doing this? The right trigger, stupid.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
For the beta, maybe?
I don't know. I never tried it in the beta.
Okay. But yeah, having stuff like that was... Well, and I guess overall, they didn't have really a control scheme in the game for you to view and really get accustomed to, which
they
seemed like
a little
bit...
They gave you a little tutorial on how to do it and then turned you loose.
Yeah.
See, somebody had to tell me that you had to press and hold the units button to select all units. Where before, right bumper was select local, left bumper was select all, or vice versa, one of those two. You had two separate
buttons.
That
you can put in the pause menu, though. Like, you pull up the pause menu, and then there's the control layout for you, especially in a beta.
Well, I think they were focusing more on getting the game out for people to play than teaching them how to play it.
But I mean, that's a simple thing that you add. You add a picture in on the menu screen. That takes 2 seconds.
Yeah, I know. It would have been great if they'd put a control scheme in there so that you could look at it and see what did what. It would have been even better if their little tutorial went a little deeper into the controls instead of just kind of giving you a brief overview. Select unit this way, move the unit this way, build a base this way, things like that.
I will say, again, because I think I mentioned this the last time we actually talked about the beta, the controls were, for the most part, easy to pick up.
Yeah, like I said, there were some small differences that definitely challenged me. I'll put it that way. I don't know about the rest of people, but me, it took a little bit more figuring out than the original Halo Wars did.
Yep. If anyone in the chat has anything to say about that too, feel free. Next thing on the list that Dan talked about was population. So people want a bigger population count. So they're going to be doing that. Apparently for the beta, they purposely put the cap lower, but they're going to be raising that population cap for the final game.
Well, I like the way you put it. They were going to raise the population count for the final game, but with the feedback they've got, they're going to raise it more than they were originally going to.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
well,
that'd
and
be
I
good.
Hope with that too, because the maps felt a little small in the beta, or is that just me?
Well, yeah, you could traverse the maps pretty quickly with, just foot units, especially the brutes. They could tear across the map so fast. It was
suicide
really...
grunts.
I have to admit, I mentioned this before. The funny thing is you get a group of vehicles rolling across the ground, and they kick up little dirt trails. You get a pack of brutes running across the map. 90% of the brutes just disappear in the dust cloud.
Yeah.
Like, man, Those guys get some heavy footfalls.
Well, yeah, they're giant apes, basically. So that wraps up pretty much all the big things that they took back from the beta. They did say that they're going to be implementing those things into another beta that's going to be coming early 2017. That'll be on both Windows 10 and Xbox One. So that's going to be the network test, I'm sure, for preparing for launch.
Mm-hmm. There is one other thing that they corrected that a lot of people had a problem with. There were some desync issues and connectivity issues with the beta, obviously. There were some problems there. They have fixed that in the final game. So,
Yay!
They were able to identify the problem quickly and fix it. So, good job.
I never had those issues personally, but I had people drop out of my games a lot, and that would be the only one left.
Yeah, I had issue with losing teammates, and I'm sure some of it was just people quitting because they needed to leave or something like that. But there was one or two games where I got kicked out of the game because I lost connection. So I didn't have a whole lot of problem with it, but it's apparently the problem was a lot worse than I was experiencing. You know, with a beta, I expected to have network issues because it is a beta.
Right.
And, you know, the first day it was out, I couldn't play the game because I couldn't get past the tutorial.
Right.
The game would just lock up right there. So I actually didn't start playing it until the second day.
I think the first time I launched the game, it took me 10 different times of resetting the game to actually get into a match-made game.
Yeah, I tried like 4 times and I said, okay, we'll just let that go. And I went back to Halo 5.
Yay, Halo 5.
But it, you know, this article shows that they are listening to the community. They are using the constructive feedback to correct problems and make a better game. So that's good. And I mean, these are all things, they're not game breaking, but they're things that they needed to address. And I'm really just really impressed with, you know, this list that they've put out. And I'm sure there's a lot more that they've altered. You know, this is probably just the short list. Okay, the really short list of things that they've altered, but I like that Dan took the time to put this article out.
It's a good feedback for the community saying that, yes, we saw the feedback that you guys had to say about the game, and we're going to be doing it.
This is what comes from positive feedback.
Yes.
People had bad things to say, but they said it in a good way, and they got fixed.
Yeah.
Okay. See previous episode for explanation. Okay.
2 episodes ago, but yes.
Two episodes ago. Sorry.
Yeah.
They're kind of running together now.
Well, so 548 is actually up on the website. It's just not published yet for everyone that's listening in the stream right now. So believe it or not, I'm actually caught up.
Until we get done tonight, and then he'll be one behind again.
Until tomorrow morning. But yes. So that's it for the Halo Wars 2 summary that they provided. There's also a couple things from the community update from last week that we can touch on a little bit. There's going to be some new stuff at Gamescom. They said that they're going to be showing off. So that will be over in Cologne, Germany. And again, that is going to be next week, starting Wednesday, which is the 17th of August. So make sure you check that out. They're going to be streaming a lot of stuff there too. So you'll be able to catch all of the info there, and then we'll probably be catching up on some of that stuff next week as we do our Halo 5 campaign recap. So that should be good. Triple Team was the feature playlist for this week, and it's still out there, I guess, until tomorrow. I haven't had a chance to play it, but it seemed like a really cool idea. It seemed kind of like a good spin-off of Multi-Team.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with Multi-Team back in Reach days.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it'd be cool if they can do Multi-Team that is the 4 teams of 3 instead of the 4 teams of 2. You'd have to have some different game modes in there, and granted, there's still some game modes missing that people want.
Rocket Hog Race.
Yes. Yes, there'd be some good Forged maps that it would be perfect on.
I hope they get Race out here pretty soon, because there's a lot of games that I miss playing. Rocket Race.
I hope so.
Rocket Hog Race. There's just and just, you know, regular race in general. I miss doing those. And there's a lot of good racetracks out there, but it's, you know, there's no way to really score it. So I don't, I honestly haven't even downloaded any of them yet. I've got them, you know, bookmarked as far as where to, you know, get them downloaded, but, you know, I haven't put them in my file, or I haven't actually bookmarked the maps yet.
I need to go through and do a bulk download of things. But talking about bookmarking stuff, another thing that they actually mentioned in the community update last week was a screenshot from the Forge team again with a little entry for prefabs, which is the... We actually kind of teased this a little bit earlier because it was something that they showed up on one of the screens at RTX, but being able to actually save a group of objects out as its own entity and being able to put that into different maps. So they're getting that worked into Forge, which is awesome.
Now you can make your own Forge pieces.
Yeah. And then export them for other people to use. So you, if you can, like, if you want to make your own base, you can export them and put them into a new map. So perfect idea would be for machinimators, if you're making a like daytime version of a map versus a rainy version of a map or a nighttime version of the map, you can kind of copy those bases into different maps, which would be cool. Anyways, so that would be exciting. And then they also had a pretty exhaustive look at Halo Ground Command, which is the latest strategy game from Spartan Games, which I still haven't even opened up the other box yet that we got from them. I'll do an unboxing one of these days. I actually need to find some friends I can play it with and actually do a gameplay video for it. But a lot of the stuff that's in Ground Command looks really cool. And a lot of the detail that's in some of these new figures and then the garages and like the tree pieces, like it looks really good.
Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed with the quality of stuff.
Yeah, me too. And there's a lot of acclaim for the previous stuff in the first one, but just looking at the pictures on the update, it just looks really cool.
Yeah, everything looks to be to scale.
I mean, just look at the anti-air wraith.
Yeah, I was just going to say the anti-air wraith. It looks, yeah, I think it actually looks better than it does in the game. It's a lot, you know, they're just really detailed models. These are, you know, almost collector quality models.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the pictures and kind of looking back at McFarlane, which has kind of been traditionally the standard for Halo figures. But just looking at these things, these are like top notch. So I would definitely be, if it wasn't so expensive to get this, I would probably end up getting it. But it's not cheap.
You'd have to have a room dedicated to it.
Yeah, I don't have that much room anymore with all my Mega Bloks.
Yeah.
I need shelves. I really need shelves.
That would be handy.
Yeah. I need to figure out a solution that I can basically have non-permanent shelves with like 3M strips or something.
Or you can just buy freestanding shelves.
Well, with where I want to put the shelves, that's not an option. Yeah, doesn't exactly work that way. But anyways, so that was from the community update last week. And then a little other thing in some official Halo news is the Halo Mythic Crate. So for those who are familiar with Loot Crate, every month they give out one Mega Crate, or for Halo's instance, the Mythic Crate. And this includes a lot more than just the normal crate of stuff that you'd normally get. And there's some pretty cool things in this first Mega Crate, some of which I actually already have, which is kind of ironic, but a lot of the other stuff is really cool to have. So they had a Halo Nightfall prop, Agent Locke's Oni helmet. I think it's the actual production prop, or maybe it's a replica. I thought I saw somewhere where it's like, or maybe it's like production quality prop. So his prop from Halo Nightfall, which none of us really remember too well because it kind of sucked. Spartan Locke play Kai Arts figure. If I can say that right. Then there's the Dark Horse 9-inch USNSC Infinity replica, which I actually bought one of those at Actually, did I buy one of those? Yeah, I actually bought one of those at San Diego Comic-Con, because that was, I think, it was either the Infinity or the Pillar of Autumn that had just released before Comic-Con.
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember which one it was.
Whoa, okay. Stepping back for just a second, because Laird posted something pretty interesting in the chat. But apparently Spartan Games made a scale truth, or not Truth and Reconciliation, but what is that? What's TLOS? What's that supercarrier? What's the actual unabbreviated name of that? I bought the Pillar of Autumn and the Infinity, Laird. I bought three different ships. And yeah, I'm looking at the Infinity right now, actually, because it's on my bookshelf. So I bought the Infinity, I bought the Truth and Reconciliation, and the Pillar of Autumn. So I have all three of them.
That was the name of the you wanted the name of the ship, or you wanted the name of the class of ship?
No, Laird put up there, he said he wants the TLOS supercarrier.
And you asked for, you wanted the name of the ship?
Is it called the Long Night of Solace? I thought that was just the mission name. Oh, okay. So, yeah, they have a Covenant carrier that is the Long Night of Solace. I didn't know that was the name of the ship, actually. But it's a 4-foot-long replica that Spartan Games made for Gen Con.
Nice.
Is that the thing that Toa Freak went to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He went by the Spartan Games booth.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch that video yet, but I saw the thumbnail for it. But he'll be on here next week.
So we can bug him all about it then.
Yeah. So sorry for that derailment, but yeah, so the 9-inch UNSC Infinity replica comes in the Mega Crate. Muster brand UNSC Outpost jacket, which is a heavy winter jacket. Only if those things weren't so expensive. Because, boy, those things are expensive. Astro A40 plus M80 mix amp, Halo 5 Guardians Edition with the A40 speaker tags. So that's the normal Halo 5 A40s. I already have that. The Power A Halo 5 Guardians dual Xbox One controller charger. That was the one that was available at Best Buy. Mattel 6-inch action figure, Spartan Lock, Spartan Air Assault, and the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Spartan Helios Grill.
Nice.
So all three of those. There is the Accutime UNSC watch, which we actually have. We received one of those for our Spartans for Troops charity stream, which I'm still waiting on people to actually come and claim their prizes, because we have them and we're waiting to distribute them. And we've only heard from one person.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that's just sitting in my office that needs to be mailed out. So I'm just kind of waiting for people to respond. So if you're listening to this and you got something back, or you're supposed to get something, check your Twitch messages, because that's where I messaged everybody on getting addresses and stuff. Anyways, so there's the watch, BioWorld Halo apparel, Spartan 4 snap hat, and then the Spartan 4 athletic gray crew socks. The socks actually look pretty cool. And then there's a UNSC belt as well. And then the last thing is a Halo Metal Earth Assault Rifle Laser Cut model. So it's like the Metal Earth Guardian that we got in the Limited Collector's Edition, which I still haven't put together yet.
Me neither.
I'm not sure I ever will.
I've got two of them, and I haven't worked on either one of them. They're still in the boxes.
You know, that reminds me, I still have a Limited Collector's Edition that's sitting in my closet to possibly give away at some point.
They might want to give it away, you know, before they announce Halo 6.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be a Christmas thing.
Maybe.
That might be a good idea. Anyways. So yeah, that's going to be the Halo Mythic Crate. Big crate of stuff. And again, all you have to do is sign up for the Halo Crate. For the, what do they call it? The Frontier or the Founders Crate? Frontier Crate? Anyways. And if you want to get a discount on the crate, you can head on over to lootcrate.com/podtacular and then put in the promo code podtacular. You'll get $3 off your first crate.
Do it. Do it now.
Do it. Do it now. So yeah. And make sure you use lootcrate.com/podtacular. That way we can, it tracks that you got the crate through us. So if you have some friends out there that have been a little on the edge of whether or not to buy this crate, then let them know that they can get a discount on it. And there are 4 days left, I believe, in order to pre-order for getting the first crate guaranteed. Little secret too, that promo code works for another subscription as well. So if maybe if you have friends that are interested in Loot Crate or Loot Anime or Loot Pets or some other loot service, and they are a maybe they're not quite interested in the Halo stuff, the promo code still works for those other subscription models as well. And if you go through the link and then re-navigate, you will get we will get notified that you also got a subscription through us as well. So again, that's lootcrate.com/podtacular, and use the promo code podtacular for $3 off your first crate.
Should be easy to remember.
Yeah, it's just podtacular. If you know the podcast, you know the promo code, the coupon code. So that's really it as far as news is concerned. There's nothing really big to discuss. I think that might be a good thing for now. There's a little bit of lull in things until Gamescom next week, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I figured kind of just as a topic of discussion tonight, we could talk about Rex a little bit, since that's something that we've been wanting to talk about for a while, but never really have had the chance to discuss in any kind of detail. So I guess why don't we start by kind of our own thoughts on the Rex system. And I know we've kind of touched on this a little bit before in past podcasts, and we'll likely bring it up again when we can get a panel on. But I figured since we're kind of at the, for the most part, the end of what I foresee as Rex becoming available to the game. Like, I don't really foresee many new Rex being added. I figure it might not be a bad time to at least discuss it again. But as far as the Rex are concerned, I think there's still kind of a bit of an element that's the pay to win type. And I know there's a lot of discussion out there on whether or not it is pay to win. Should it be in the next game of Halo 5? But in my opinion, there are definitely elements of the Rex system that kind of reflect the pay to win strategy, especially for normal Warzone and Warzone Assault. I think for a firefight, that's kind of eliminated because you're playing against the AI and not against other players. But
with my rec openings that I've been doing, yeah, I haven't got everything unlocked, and I could have unlocked everything a lot faster if I'd have just bought rec packs at a significant deficit to my wallet. I think it does favor people that buy rec packs just because they can get rec as fast as their wallets will let them. But I think you earn enough rec points, you know, in just casual play, which that's what I do. I don't really grind Halo for rec points. I think they do a good job of giving you rec points, at least in the Warzone playlist, to narrow that gap. Now, on the arena side, they could probably increase the amount of rec you get on the arena playlist, because I've played a few games, and with rare and legendary rec point boosts, I might get 1,000 rec points out of a single arena game.
Well, you also have to think that arena games are typically 3 times shorter.
Right. I know it's a balancing act to get that right. But you know, that's with a rec point boost on. You know, without a rec point boost, if I hit 500, that's a good, you know, that's a good
really?
Reward. Yeah.
Could I get upwards of 700 to 1200 for arena games?
In arena games? Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen any numbers like that without a rec boost.
Huh. Maybe I need to look more closely at mine. Maybe they've changed how the system works, and I just really haven't noticed since.
I mean, you get lots of
before.
You get a lot of XP from arena, but rec point, it could be just because of my play style and the playlist that I'm playing that, well,
and
I
if
don't
you think about it
much.
Too, though, rec points are more applicable to Warzone anyways, so if people are going to be playing mostly arena, it's going to be more experience that they're probably looking for.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's an opinion. The regular Warzone could stand to be on par with Assault and Warzone Firefight as far as points rewarded. Because right now, you can definitely earn more points in Assault than you can in regular Warzone in roughly the same period of time. And Firefight definitely pays off better than regular Warzone as far as rec points.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you win.
Yeah. The rec system for Firefight seems to work very well. It would be nice if... One thing about Firefight and the rec system, I wish they would tune the bosses to... And I don't know how they would do this. To be more weapon-friendly and less vehicle-friendly as far as damage. Because it always seems like, you know, I don't pull out... I don't pull out my rocket launchers. I don't pull out my hydro launchers or my sniper rifles for the simple fact I just run out of ammunition before I really make a dent in the wave. You know, where a vehicle, I can pull a vehicle out and, you know, I can complete the entire wave with that vehicle and go on to the next wave with that vehicle. I don't know how you can change that. Unless, you know, there was a way that they could get the rec stations to give you, say, one reload of your weapon.
Yeah.
You could call in your Norfang and, you know, do some damage. And
well, if you look at Firefight in the past games, too, whenever you had the round reset, you got a full reload of... Or no, did you? Because, like, in Halo Reach, No, because you only got UNSC weapons reloaded.
Right. In Reach, you had a limited amount of reloads per round, and every round it would reset. Each wave, you know, you would go through your five waves, and they gave you a set amount of ammo to complete those waves. At the end of the five waves, when the round reset, then it would restock your ammo supply, which is generally SMGs and pistols. And then it also reset the health packs as well. Now, as far as any weapons you pick up, you know, concussion rifles, plasma pistols, stuff like that, once it was empty, it was empty. You know, you had to go find another one. You know, same with swords and things like that. Once you depleted them, they were nothing. You just picked up another one. I would like to be able to use some of my actual weapons, especially when you get three wardens spawning inside the base where you really can't get a vehicle. Because some of these things, your higher end stuff, you'll burn 7-8 rec and the round's over before you can build up another 7-8 rec to call in another one. And, you know, like a rocket launcher, you can burn an entire rocket launcher on one warden and not kill him. I've done that a couple of times. I completely empty a rocket launcher. And I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's the legendary one. You know, it comes with 8 round or.
Is that the EM or the EM Prime?
I think it's the EM Prime. Now I'm going to have to look.
Because it has the 4 barrels and then it has 8 in reserves, right? I think that's the EM Prime.
Yeah, you have 12 shots in it. You know, and the warden, yeah, you do a lot of damage to the warden, but you don't really get anywhere. And, you know, turrets are actually work really good, but, you know, you have to make sure that you're close to the fight to call them in or, you know, by the time you get there, it will be over with.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Spanker Prime is what it is, not Spanker EM.
Well, he said the 4-round launcher is the EM, and then the EM Prime is the mythic version of that one, I guess.
Well, you mean the Spanker EX?
No, he said EM. In the chat.
Yeah, I'm looking at the rec card. Spanker EX. And then you have the Spanker Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And where's the Spankum?
The Spankerim?
Spanker, yeah. Well, there is one that is... I call it the Spankum because it's, EM.
Yeah.
Maybe they just got...
Yeah.
Yeah, they just got it titled wrong. That's what it is.
Gotcha. Bug report.
You know, I would like to be able to run these weapons and use them against AI because, you know, I've got a lot of them, you know, some of them I will call in at a relatively low rec level, you know, like, you know, the Song of Peace, the Fury, the Blissful Slumber, things like that, you know, I'll call them in at a relatively low level because they have a very small rec cost. And, you know, when you have a, you know, kill enemies type wave, then it works really well. But when you come into the boss wave, yeah, you want to pull out your Norfangs. You want to pull out your big, your heavy rocket launchers and stuff, especially when they're in places that you can't get vehicles, but they just don't last long enough.
I also feel that for the power weapons with the higher recs, especially ones that are kind of just a little bit better tiers of some of the other ones, for Warzone Firefight, it's almost not worth it because they don't do that much more substantial damage. So you're wasting rec points at that point. And in most cases, vehicles are going to be a lot more useful than power weapons because you have a almost endless supply of ammo and weapons versus a 4-barrel rocket that you're going to spend twice as much than a Warthog on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm constantly pulling in ghosts and scout hogs, even, you know, just running around the map splattering. And I do, you know, I do just as much damage running around in a warthog splattering enemies as I do with a tank. You know, the nice thing about the tank is when you get the bosses in, then you can do a lot of damage, or, you know, knights. You know, knights can't splatter.
Knights and wardens.
Yeah. So, you know, a scout hog in that situation, probably not the best idea. But I just find myself going through a lot more vehicles than I do the other rec. I guess I could just start playing more Warzone, but even then, by the time I build up the rec, you know, I've got a Norfang fighting against, you know, Oni tanks.
Yeah, the balance and the amount that things cost in rec points versus things that other things cost in that system overall doesn't really balance out, in my opinion. Because you can get a Norfang, and while that is like a one-hit body shot anywhere, someone else can just pull out something else that's of lower rec and just like easily take you out.
They could pull out, you know, you pull out a Norfang, which is a rec level 7. Somebody can just pull out a regular sniper rifle, which is a rec 6, or they could pull out, you know, pull their DMR out and knock, you know, and kill you. Or, you know, you go into a vehicle and they could pull a tank and wreck you, or Wraith, or Banshee. Although Norfang does pretty good against Banshees. I mean, it takes a few shots, but it tears through them pretty quick.
Even to that point, though, just the fact that you can spend more wrecks on a weapon and less wrecks on a vehicle, and the vehicle can usually last a lot longer and have a lot more pull in a game, that just kind of goes to show that the system is really not balanced in that manner.
Yeah, between weapons and vehicles, the vehicles, definitely you get more bang for your buck when it comes to the wreck energy. I'm constantly running out of ghosts, and now with Warzone Firefight, I'm actually running low on scout hogs and, you know, regular warthogs. The funny thing is, let's see. Well, I stocked up again because I did open all my silvers before I did my last rec video, but because, you know, it was warthogs and boosts, and I didn't think that was good video, so I just opened them off screen, you know, and rec points. Yay, I got more rec points! But anyway.
Yay, more spending money.
You know, right now I'm sitting on 11 temple wraiths.
Whoa.
How did I get 11 of them? Anyway, but, you know, that's another thing. You've got this temple wraith, which is supposed to be a relatively top tier wraith, but I'll take an ultra wraith over it every time.
The ultras are where it's at for the covenant vehicles.
You know, the temple wraith, you know, is supposed to be, and it does have some nice perks with it, but it seems to be very fragile. You know, same with the temple ghost and the temple banshees. Well, I can't say the temple banshees because I haven't had one yet, but the temple ghosts, that I'll actually burn those on lower tier rounds and save my ultras, you know, my ghost ultras for, I'll for bosses. The Ghost Ultra against the Warden works wonders, especially if you've got just a little bit of cover you can hide behind. Just something to block that stun beam. They'll just tear through a Warden.
Well, that area of effect damage does some nice damage to it.
The power-ups, they're a great concept, but, I mean, am I going to spend 4 rec on a active camo, or am I going to spend 4 rec on a Whiplash? Which one is really going to get me more kills? Well, with me, probably neither, but I have a better shot of getting kills with the Whiplash than I do an active camo. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for them. You know, if you're trying to sneak into the opponent's base to take out a core, yeah, that's great. But one, you have to spend 4 rec on that, and then you have to have some type of power weapon to, kill the core efficiently. So you're going to have to pull in, a gravity hammer or a rocket launcher or something like that.
Fuel rod's my favorite.
Yeah. You're looking at rec level 8 or 9 to get the combination. Or you can spend rec level 4, get a Ghost Ultra with your Wheelman, and just go into the core room and wreck house.
Come to think about it, I rarely see people using Invis, except to go in and destroy a core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only time I really see them is at the very, very tail end of matches.
And the only time I see speed boost is whenever Spiteful is doing his
4 of them.
Yep.
Yeah. And honestly, I haven't even seen him do that much anymore.
I think it's because they took out the stack ability.
I'm learning to love chain guns.
The chain guns are awesome. The plasma turret sucks.
Really handy in assault. When you're defending a armory, especially because you've got quite a bit of cover. If you've got some teammates that will kind of help protect you and watch out for you, they're pretty unstoppable. There's been multiple times I've been on multiple killing sprees with a turret. I just the rec system overall is pretty good. It does need some changes if they're going to continue to use it.
I think some of the rec requirement, as far as the rec power level requirements, need to be tweaked a little bit, or at least the weapons that cost more rec need to be
more powerful.
Balanced power wise, yeah.
A Norfang in one clip should be able to take out most vehicles. 4 shots. Maybe a tank, 5. But you can unload, half your magazine of an Orfang into a tank, and you'll do damage to it, but you won't destroy it.
So I almost think that something like a chain gun Warthog should be closer to a rocket launcher. Almost. It should be worth more than a shotgun, and a shotgun's worth 4.
Yeah.
And a Warthog is worth 3. And you can do a lot more damage with a Warthog than you can a shotgun.
Oh yeah. I mean, a Rocket Hog, you can pick a Rocket Hog at level 4.
So I think there's definitely some balancing that needs to happen for that system.
It's nice that the scout vehicles are a nice low rec, but honestly, I think Warthogs probably need to require more rec energy. So, I mean, you can pull in an Orny Warthog at level 3. Now, granted, they did help it out a bunch when No, it's 3.
The Orny Hog? Oh, because the normal chain gun hog is 2, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's right.
You can call it an Orny Hog. And granted, they've done some balancing on it to where, the Orny Hog now overheats where when the game originally launched, it didn't. You just hold the trigger down as long as you want it. And people were just destroying with it. They still do, but just not as bad as they did. You pull in an Orny Warthog and you get a good driver and a good gunner, they are a force to contend with. And then even in a regular hog, especially if they wait until, say, rec level 5, and they both have the, what is that other one?
Wheelman or something.
Yeah, the Wheelman perk on. That makes that sucker, that hog, pretty indestructible. I mean, you can still kill it, but it takes a lot of fire to do it.
I think there's a lot of balance that needs to happen, and just from an overall perspective on the weapon damage for the corresponding rec level, it just seems like it's not quite as balanced enough for some of them. At least it doesn't feel that way. But and again, that's just our opinion on it too.
True. All right, the Wasp, the latest addition to the rec, the vehicles. At a rec level 3, that thing's pretty deadly.
Yeah, but it's also a piece of paper.
Yes, it is.
It gets shredded through so easily.
I've seen multiple people do unfreaking believables in a Wasp.
It's been going up against some idiots. No offense.
A good player can keep that Wasp alive. You've got to keep moving, and that's the big deal. A lot of people try, they don't move enough. And
that's when I yell out, team shoot, team shoot, team shoot.
Yeah. But the Wasp can do a lot of damage at a really low rec cost. And if they add to the Wasp category and offer multiple levels like they do with every other vehicle, it could get pretty insane.
The Oni Wasp. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the one, not really handicap, but the thing that holds back an Oni Hog is the fact to really make use of it, you need two people. So you need to be able to communicate with somebody that you're playing with. A Wasp, it's you. And if you play smart, you can make something like that last a really long time and rack up a lot of kills.
Well, and traditionally in Halo, vehicles have always been a powerful asset to have. So from the fact that they're as low a rec level as some of your other kind of semi-powerful weapons in the game, it doesn't quite seem right.
Yeah, one of my biggest complaints with the last few games is vehicles have been way too easy to destroy. In Halo 4, you get in a tank, you're pretty much signing your death warrant. Because, a tank's slow, and they were really easy to destroy. I mean, one hit from a Spartan laser and you're gone. You could be taken out of a tank with BRs. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have it that way, but when you've got a couple of people shooting you with BRs and you're in a tank, it should take some time for the tank to die.
Yeah, versus a rocket launcher or plasma caster or grenade or any kind of area explosives.
And in some cases, wraiths, the regular wraiths, sometimes I feel that they die too quickly, but that it's all subject to your perception too. There's been multiple times I've pulled out a wraith and I seemed like it one banshee bomb killed me.
Well, I think the Halo 5 engine also takes a little bit more account into where the area of a shot or a hit actually affects you're a Spartan, so if you get hit straight on in the cockpit, yeah, you're going to die.
No, I mean the vehicle itself was destroyed. Now, if I was just killed and knocked out of the vehicle, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But when the vehicle is destroyed, there is no way one Banshee bomb should be able to take out a Wraith.
Nope, it shouldn't be. Unless it's a Banshee Ultra, but even then, it should be maybe two Banshee bombs.
A Banshee Ultra, I could understand at least having the Wraith severely damaged, to the point where you probably ought to get out of it before the Banshee comes back around. And then there's, other times that I'll get, I'll be going up against vehicles and they just seem to take so much punishment. It's like, can the game make up its mind on how much it, how hard it is to kill a vehicle? So a lot of it's perception.
Yeah. And I think to Eric Hebu's point in the chat, he says that not even the Banshee bomb is supposed to be able to take out a Wraith, which there's been several times where I've been in vehicles and I'm like, there's no way this should have happened. But then if you look back, it's like, I did take a little bit of damage, but there are certain times where it does seem kind of completely, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. But yeah, it does seem that there is some unbalance as far as certain weapons having effect on vehicles and how much damage certain vehicles do versus others and all that stuff.
For the first iteration of the system, I think they did pretty good. It does need some tuning though.
Well, we haven't even talked about the whole issue that people have with there should be specific aesthetics you can unlock.
Yes, and that is another subject. But just, you know, the wreck, and we're not saying the weapons and the vehicles themselves really need to be altered, just their wreck energy cost needs to be altered, for the most part.
For the most part, yeah. I think there are some weapons that may need to be buffed or nerfed based on their power level. Mostly buffed, I think. But yeah, for the most part, it's mostly just the right cost, I think, which needs to be reallocated.
Moving on to the aesthetic side of the wreck system, your emblem, your armor, stance, things like that. I honestly think those need to be removed from the wreck system and put in some type of unlock system. You know, you complete campaign on legendary solo, you get to unlock this armor. Or in, if you want to keep it as part of the wreck system, you unlock armor points to where you can go into, you know, for lack of a better word, a store like you did in Halo Reach and buy the armor that you want.
So I don't remember if I actually said this on the podcast before or if this was just something in passing up and talking with people and on Twitter, but I think it would be an interesting system to implement a way to redeem maybe a specific card or something to unlock a certain piece of armor. So say, for example, you open up a gold pack and instead of getting a specific armor piece or something, you get a redeemable armor or stance or emblem or something piece. And then with that, you can go through the list of whatever you don't have and then spend it accordingly. So just like you have the boost for Arena and Warzone,
you get an armor card. Like,
yeah, so you get a card that has a certain rarity. So if you get a common armor card, then you can unlock a common armor piece. Or if you get a legendary weapon skin, then you can unlock a legendary or lower weapon skin. And then you use that card to redeem that thing. So the one weapon, the Lone Wolf pistol skin that Bio wanted, instead of having to wait to get that thing, he could have maybe gotten one of these redemption cards and then spent it on getting that specific piece. So that gives people the ability to go in and redeem specific things that they want. But at the same time, I also kind of get the perspective of 343 wanting people to keep playing to get the armor that they want. But because of the system being pretty much completely random, that's the thing that's really frustrating for most people.
Yeah, honestly, the only armor that I'm actually interested in getting is the George armor. And of course, it's the one of the few armors that I have yet to unlock. You know, that is really the only armor in the game that I really would want to wear. The stuff that I wear now, it's like, it's okay. I kind of like it, but I just, the other thing with this wreck system is I would like to see it go back to helmet, chest, arms, and boots. I would really like to see them separate that. So
more Reach style?
Yes. And then do weapon skins. So, you know, I can get the particular slash mark across the chest I want.
Well, just look at how many different armors that's in the game. If you were to break all those up, there'd be so many options that it would probably end up confusing people.
Well, that's the nice thing, is that most of the armors are duplicates, or triplicates, or quadruplicates.
Right.
The only difference is the skin that they put on them. So you have, for one, you would cut down on the number of armor pieces. You would just have one chest, like, you know, you'd have one Photos helmet, one Photos chest, one Photos boots, and Photos gauntlets. And then over here, you'd have the armor skins that you could apply to your armor. You'd wind up with roughly the same amount of pieces. I understand that they wanted to make the armor selection more set.
I get what you mean, yeah.
They wanted to make less pieces, I guess. But, I mean, there's 223 helmets.
That's too many, in my opinion. Way too many.
I mean, the top line on the webpage, there are three different versions of the Athlon helmet. And the only real difference between them is the shading on them. The, you know, the overlay. Three different aviator helmets.
Yeah.
There are some that do have some physical difference in the helmet, but it's small stuff. You know, nothing that's really going to make me want to wear the helmet. Let's see. Where is that Fotis? I think there's like three versions of the Fotis armor.
Really? I knew there were two.
Let's see. There's Fotis.
But I know there are some that have three or four variants.
Yeah, you know.
So I know what you're talking about.
There's, that just seems to be a lot better system than what they currently have for Halo 5. Yeah, there are three versions of the Fotis helmet. You have the Fotis, which you unlock by buying the console, Fotis Chill Rose, and then Fotis Synchronize. And they're the same helmet with different stickers on it, or different paint job.
Right.
The Helios Grill, which was supposed to be, you know, you had to complete the Master Chief collection on Legendary to get it. Yeah, okay, yeah, I've got it, but there's two more versions of it. So why did I bust my butt to complete?
Yeah, so much for the Master Chief
collection. Yeah, the Master Chief collection on Legendary to get a helmet that they're going to give away anyway.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it does have different markings on it, but it's the same helmet. You make one helmet and you'll have it be affected by armor skins. The armor skins were a great idea for Halo 4. That really let you, you know, since they took away the ability to change the, you know, to customize the armor, that gave us a little bit of customization back. I would still like to see it broken back up into individual pieces.
I've heard a lot of different people say that, which I think it would be definitely a little more expressive and customizable if they went that way. And I also think they wouldn't necessarily be able to do as many armor. Well, I guess maybe not, because that means probably there's what? Maybe because there's how many armor sets right now? 100 and something? 200 and something?
223 armor sets.
My goodness. So,
not counting any special unlocks.
So assume that maybe out of those 2.2 to 2.5 duplicate average?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so you're looking at probably 100 to 120 different armor, which if you're going to do a system where it's going to be all different armor pieces, so chest, arms, shoulders, legs, boots, helmet, and all that stuff, I don't think you might be able to do as many armor sets, which to me, take all the ones out that don't make sense.
You know, if you're looking at a total count armor pieces, 446.
What?
If you count total armor pieces, helmets, and...
So I'm just counting sets.
Well, yeah, there's 223 sets, but you're going from sets to pieces.
Yeah, but I'm talking about sets. So if you do like average 2.2 to 2.5, you're around 100. So do 100 times 5. So you have chest, arms, legs, shoulders, and helmet. So 5. So you're looking at 500 different pieces.
So, you know, well, in the system now, they have, you know, 440 unique pieces. You know, because you have two pieces to every piece of armor.
Yeah, but they're skins for the most part.
Right. And doing it my way, you remove the duplicate armor sets.
Yeah, that's why I said that, like, divide by 2.2, 2.5.
Right. You break that up into the separate pieces, you wind up right about 500 actual armor pieces. And then you can, in a separate deal, you can have your weapon skins. I just don't see where that would be, you know, more difficult for the game to handle.
I don't know.
It would be more work to create the additional pieces, yes. But it gives you so much more customization. So much more, or just another way to express who you are.
I'd agree.
You know, I can't, the emblem I've run since Halo, I changed my emblem in Halo 3. I can't run it anymore. It doesn't exist because it was a customized emblem with the background and toggling the Spartan helmet in a certain way. They didn't make that emblem. I have the Spartan helmet, but it doesn't look the same as what my emblem used to look like.
Wah, wah.
Right now I'm rocking the Flaming Ninja because that's what I had in Halo 2, because that's what was available in Halo 2. They didn't have the Spartan helmet in Halo 2.
Right.
I would like the ability to recreate that emblem because that's my emblem. That's what I associate with my Spartan. And another thing, on the tag, your tag, and you guys can criticize me all you want. My tag has been F30 since they introduced the system. And I just never changed it because, that was the tag that the game randomly assigned to me. And I don't know why I never changed it. I just F30. Okay. I just left it there. I can't do that in Halo 5. It has to be 4 digits. I can't have a blank space.
And there are quite a few people complaining about that too.
If I want to have my gamer tag or my service tag say 1, and I mean the number 1, not the word 1, well, even the word 1, I want to be able to do that. It just a space bar. That's all I want.
Yeah. Well, alas, it's not.
There are a lot of things that they could do to improve the system.
Well, and that's not even the rec thing. That's just customizability.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's part of the rec system as it currently is.
Well, not the tag.
No, I'm sorry. Going back to the armor.
Oh, gotcha.
The tag. Yeah, that's a game thing. That's random tangent, but. Your emblem and your armor, I just would really like to see a lot more customization come back to that so that, I can build the Spartan I want. And I do like your idea of just unlocking, you get a armor card of different rarities and then you spend that card to unlock the armor you want to unlock. Because I have 160 helmets and I don't like any of them.
I'd stick with the Mark VI, and that's enough for me. There's quite a bit I think that can be addressed with the rec system, and I think there's still, we haven't touched quite a bit of this on tonight's show, but I think whenever we get a round table discussion going, that might be a pretty big topic of discussion, but pay to win style of the rec system for Warzone. And I don't think it's quite as prevalent now as it was before, especially with Firefight and a lot of people playing Firefight, but definitely in just native Warzone, it can be an issue.
Yes, it can. And I've run across it. But the nice balancing fact to that is, and it doesn't completely balance it, but it does a pretty good job, is the fact that you have to earn the rec energy. So the person that is spending all their money on rec, buying gold packs, they still have to be relatively good at the game to get the rec level. Yeah, I'm not saying it completely offsets it, but...
You still have the issue of they have more recs available, and in some cases more powerful recs at same rec levels than other people do.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that'll be a discussion for another day.
Yeah, there's still a lot to be there. They have to be able to use the rec effectively as well.
True. That is true. So, that'll be a discussion for another day. But that'll wrap it up for us tonight. Really looking forward to next week's show where I'm going to have Toa Freak on and discuss some Halo 5 rumors. Well, not necessarily rumors, but just kind of after all the events of Halo 5, seeing where we could possibly go with that, what the ending means with Cortana, and what could that mean for Halo 6 and Halo Wars 2 and all that fun stuff. So it'll be a fun podcast, and it'll be nice to have Toa Freak back on. I think the last time we had him on was for the grand finale of Hunt the Truth. Or maybe there was one other thing in between there, but I think that was it.
Yeah, I think that was the last time we had him on.
So it'll be good to have him back on the show. It's been a long time since we've talked to him, and he's really looking forward to it, too.
Well, I am as well.
Yes. Yes. So make sure you guys are tuning in for that again. That'll be next week for our podcast. Thursdays, live, twitch.tv/podtacular, 9 p.m. Make sure you're there. At least that's Eastern time, 6 p.m. Pacific time. Make sure you also check out us on Friday for our game night, hosted by Mr. GT himself. Hosting some customs and Warzone and whatever everyone else is up for doing. And also make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of a conglomerate of gaming-specific podcasts, including Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, and The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast. And then there's The Couple Odd One Outs, which is a Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. You can find those podcasts over at podka.st or thepodcast.com, and that's podcast with a K, and let them know that we sent you. You can also check out our social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and again, Twitch, where we stream our podcasts on Thursdays, and then we have a game night on Fridays. Looking to change up the Twitch page a little bit, and looking to change up some of our social media profiles a bit as well. So look for some changes coming within the next couple of months for that. Make sure you also check out our series that Godzilla T has been putting together, which is Achieving Halo. And we are on, what mission are we on?
Well, we've got the fifth mission, which is the hub mission, the first hub mission. And now I'm drawing a blank on the freaking missions, on their names. I feel so bad.
I don't remember them much either.
Well, anyway, missions 5 and 6, you know, your first hub mission where you meet the Governor Sloan in all his holographic glory, show you some little Easter eggs in the mission, and then we'll move on to the next mission, which is, let's see, what is the next one? Is
I'm looking it up. Although my internet's being incredibly slow right now. It is Evacuation.
No, not Evacuation.
Unconfirmed. Oh, yes, went too far ahead, sorry.
Where, you know, where this Barton Locke's team is investigating where supposedly the Master Chief's team has landed, or Blue Team has landed.
Blue Team.
Blue Team. So if you want to join in on that, be sure to message me. Best to get me on Xbox Live at Godzilla Space T, and we'll get you in a show, and you can be part of a Podtacular production.
Yay! That's fun. You can also check out Godzilla T's Hunt for Junk. That's on his personal YouTube channel.
And you can find me at Godzilla Todd on YouTube.
Yes.
I was really impressed with my last video, episode 15. I got a whole 11 views.
Yay!
Which, for my personal channel, is a new record for 2 days at least.
So everyone in this chat right now needs to go watch the video and get up to 20.
And if you've already watched it once, you need to watch it again.
So if you're logged into YouTube, it won't actually count it again.
Okay, don't log into YouTube. Just go look it up. Oh. No, I just want to say I appreciate everybody that's dropped by my channel and checked out my video. I hope you enjoyed it. And
I enjoy them.
If you like seeing a wreck opening, come back. I'll keep doing them. Probably going to have to start doing them at a slower pace now that I've spent all my silvers and bronzes. The golds take a little bit longer to get stacked up.
Yeah, gold pack hype.
Yay! I like to at least do 10 gold packs. Because it seems to be a nice number for gold packs.
Makes sense. Makes sense to me. So yeah, make sure you check that out. Make sure you message Godzilla T to get involved with that. Also, as of right now, our Spartan company is full. So we've been getting a lot of requests lately. Thanks to our podcast on the state of the community. We got a lot of publicity for that. And we got a lot of people interested in the Spartan company. So unfortunately, I had to kick everyone who had not played within the last month. So if you got kicked because of inactivity, sorry, not sorry. Had to make room for people that are willing to be active and playing in the company. And I just want to reiterate for some people that even though Achilles is kind of a big topic, it's not the primary reason for the company. The primary reason for the company is to have fun. We are trying to get the Achilles armor, but do not be going around trying to guilt trip anyone into playing because they have to get Achilles. That's not the reason for our Spartan company. So we've had some recent members come on board and really looking for that Achilles and trying to push other people off because of inactivity. And I just kind of want to reiterate the fact that that's not what we're about.
Yeah, we're here because we're a Halo community. I mean, the Achilles armor, yeah, it's a nice perk, but you know, we want people that are here for the community, not just for the armor.
Exactly. So, with that said, we will be periodically checking to make sure that people are in that are playing on a somewhat regular basis. Again, that's kind of if you play every once in a while, like once every week or so, then you're not going to get kicked or anything. But if it's been more than a month that you've played, then we will boot you. There are only a handful of exceptions, like Fumo and JVB, because they're kind of like legacy Podtacular members.
They're the founders of Podtacular.
Fumo is, yeah. JVB didn't come on for a year, but he's definitely a legacy member for sure.
Legacy member. Oh, yeah, I'll go with that one.
Yeah. So, minus those few exceptions, we are actively kicking people out of the company who aren't playing on a regular basis. Just, that's how we're going to run with it. And final thing to wrap up, make sure you check out the Halo Crate if you haven't already. And if you are interested, again, you can go to lootcrate.com/podtacular, and that'll take you straight to the Halo Crate info. Go ahead and click on your subscription that you want, and then during checkout, make sure you use the coupon code PodTackler, and you'll get $3 off your first crate. So, cool stuff.
Can't wait to get my first crate.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And we may be giving away some of those crates too.
Ooh.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. And that actually might end up being a new production for our YouTube channel as well, because we'll actually be able to do some unboxing videos of those and be able to show you what's in the crates. So if for some reason you haven't subscribed and you're interested, you'll actually be able to maybe I want a crate after all. So you'll still be able to use our link and then our coupon code and still be able to get a discount on your crates. So make sure you do it. Support Podtacular by using lootcrate.com/podtacular and use the coupon code Podtacular during checkout. All right, that's going to do it for tonight. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We're still kind of in a news lull. Hopefully, next week we'll be a little bit more active in terms of stuff we see from Gamescom. And, of course, we'll have Toa Freak on himself, Mr. Halo Cannon, the Halo Canonite himself, the master of lore aside from Grimm, for the most part. At least from the community side of things, I consider him probably one of the more, not reputable, but I guess experts within the Halo community on the lore of Halo.
He's definitely got me beat.
He has me beat too. So looking forward to that with him next week. Make sure you come by and check us out again. That's going to be Thursday, 9 o'clock, live on Twitch or episode 550, which, yeah, we did that again.
That's kind of epic.
Yeah, it is. Just wait till we get to 750 for 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next week will be...
And then 1,000. What if we get to 1,000 episodes?
I might not be here by then. I'm not sure, though.
Well, hopefully you'll still be around in some form or fashion.
I might be drooling a lot, though.
Well, any way that you can still be here and still have fun, that would be awesome. Thanks, everyone, again, for tuning in, whether via Twitch or iTunes or some other download. We appreciate the support that you guys are giving us. Make sure you check back with us next week for a thrilling episode that's sure to be lore-tastic. And we will see you guys next week. Peace.